It's time to make it count. We give professionals the knowledge, mindset, and habits to win at work and at home. I'm Freddie Bennett, Guinness World Record holder, business owner, adventurer, and author, giving you the tools to get unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed. The clock is ticking, so let's go and make it count. Welcome to another show-stopping episode of Make It Count. We continue to be now in the top 1% of all podcasts worldwide. We are the accounting industry's most favourite and fastest growing podcast. And today, folks, I have got a real treat for you. I am delighted to welcome Tessa Douglas, Director of Business Growth at the one and only Back Room. Tessa, I am delighted to have you here on Make It Count. This is going to be an amazing episode. But for anyone that hasn't heard of you or the Back Room, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, you've had some real heavyweights on your show, and I suspect compared to a lot of them that not many would have heard of me. But I'm the Director of Business Growth for the Back Room. I joined about 6 months ago. It feels like a lifetime, but it also feels like just yesterday that I started. And we help accounting firms build out offshore teams. We help them free up capacity and time so that they can get on doing the work that they love.
Amazing. I love that. And I've heard such amazing things about the Back Group. I really think you're all catalysts for helping accountants and accounting firms be as awesome as possible and to powerfully serve their clients. So Tessa, you said that you've been in the role for about 6 months, but take us back to the beginning. Where did it all begin? Have you always been in and around the accounting industry?
Yeah, I quite often have that thought of how the flip did I get here? I'll save the swearing for now, Freddie. But yes, I have. I've always worked in the accounting industry, and I sort of had quite a non-traditional journey through the accounting industry. You know, if I fast way back to when I was 17, still in high school, I was a straight A student. But when I went to university, for various reasons, it really wasn't the right environment for me. I probably got a bit caught up with the partying. I probably didn't really handle the lack of structure very well. And so I bombed, like I absolutely bombed. Mm. I think in my first year, I might have passed one or two papers, but, you know, it just wasn't for me. Mm. And so I made a decision to try and get a job. And I'd been working as a receptionist in an accounting firm. So that's sort of where I started. I thought, hopefully someone will take a chance on me. And so my first job after I decided that I wasn't going to get much further at uni was with Mellon McLean in Gore. Mm. And thankfully, they saw the potential with me and took a chance. They spent a lot of time training me, but they hired me as a junior accountant. And that's kind of where I started. I've worked always in the accounting industry, whether that's in a traditional accounting firm or whether it's in-house. I've had some horrendous jobs. I've had some shitty bosses. I've had some really flipping amazing bosses and amazing jobs. But if we sort of fast forward a little bit, I moved to Australia, Perth, for about 5 years. And when I came back to New Zealand, I joined BDO in Auckland as one of their information systems consultants. So that meant that I was helping clients, small, medium businesses, get the right systems and accounting and business processes in place so that they could be really successful. And I think, you know, that's where I really started to hit my stride in a way. I think, you know, what I really loved about that role was spending the time to understand those clients and spending the time to understand what their pain points were, like what's holding them back, where do they want to be, and how I can help them achieve that, and giving them that confidence that the solution that we've, you know, dreamed up for them is going to change their lives for the better or change their business for the better.
Tessa, thank you so much for sharing that. And you know what, I love non-traditional journeys because my journey was very much the same. Everything you were saying about university, I was like, yep, that was me. Very good at drinking, very good at partying, very good at being in the wrong place at the right time for the very wrong reasons. But where you made such a powerful difference, I feel, is that you recognized that this wasn't the right path. You did something about it because so many people just carry on that path and they just tell themselves this is as good as it gets. So I think that's an amazing proactive move to really go out there and say, no, I think not only am I going to do something differently, but I think I can do something better. I think I can do something with my life. I'd love to unpack something you were saying about bosses. Just obviously naming no names here or anything at all.
No, because
I've been the same. Like, I've worked with shitty bosses. I've worked with amazing bosses. In your opinion, what makes the difference? Like, what makes the difference between someone who turns into a shitty boss or an amazing boss? Because there's so many leaders listening who I know they'd love to improve their leadership skills. What was it for you, do you think?
Yeah, if I'll start with the like horrendous, what's that movie? Horrible Bosses.
Horrible Bosses, yeah.
And definitely, like, I haven't had any really awful bosses in New Zealand, but when I lived in Australia, I had a couple. Mm. When I started, I first got over there, I worked for a mining financial services firm. Mm. And every single owner of that business thought he was the Wolf of Wall Street.
Wow.
And so it was an incredibly unhealthy environment to be in. Mm. It was, you know, 2 or 3 days a week, everyone down here for lunch, potentially some of them sneaking off to the bathroom, mm-hmm. but also like largely they weren't actually doing the work themselves. And so I think incredibly unhealthy environment overall. But they had this big swagger, this big like idea of what they were without maybe realizing that in order to succeed, they had to invest in the people who were actually doing the work for them.
Definitely.
But yeah, I guess that's probably quite an extreme example. And then I also worked for this amazing, weird, wonderful guy. He ran an events company, but he was very, very quirky. And so he would do things like if someone had annoyed him, he had like a store of Muppet dolls. And if he was not happy with somebody, he would anonymously send them Muppet dolls.
Wow.
And so it's sort of like, you know, somebody potentially who was a bit caught up in their own ego. And actually in the end, you know, that sort of behavior does actually make it more and more difficult to work with the people that you're working with.
Definitely.
If they're receiving anonymous Muppet dolls in the mail. But I've also been so lucky to have some of the best bosses I've had. I think for me, obviously, you know, in those early days of my career, I always felt inferior because I didn't have my university degree. It was always something that, you know, made me feel really self-conscious. And so I've had a number of bosses who haven't given two shits about that, who have spent the time to get to know me, who have seen the potential, who have recognized that I've still got something really great to offer, and who have gotten to know me on a personal and work level and understood what makes me tick. And some of those people have been so instrumental in terms of where I am now. And a lot of it, I know that this is going to sound a bit imposter syndrome-y, I suffer from it hugely, but sometimes I sort of think to myself, I'm like, wow, a lot of my career is down to people taking a chance on me.
I see. I totally resonate as well. I'm someone who, every single week, I'm like, you can't host a podcast show, can you? what happens when people find out? What happens when people discover that you're not as great as you thought you were? I think we all have those things in our minds, but you're totally right. It's the environment that we create and the leaders and the people that we surround ourselves with that can make all the difference. There's a brilliant quote or meme I've seen on the internet, and it goes along the lines of, maybe it's not your mental health. Maybe they're just treating you like shit. And I think that's what we have to remember sometimes. We're so easy to think, oh, it's me. I'm doing something wrong. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. When we're doing all the right things. Maybe it's the other person who just has their own stuff going on and they just feel like treating us like shit, which is not a good place to be in.
Yeah, that's right. I think, I think everybody suffers from imposter syndrome to a degree. I definitely do. I think like the one thing I always say is believe the people who believe in you as well.
That.
And so, you know, I've just been so lucky in a way. And I guess you have to always turn around. I can say that I was lucky, but there's obviously something there where people are like, we think that she is capable. We think that she can do this. I guess the other thing is, you know, not getting stuck when it's something you haven't done before. The only way you grow is by trying something you haven't done before and seeing how you go, and then not living with that regret, I think, as well.
Definitely. I mean, I always say that the perfection is the enemy of progress. We're so caught up trying to be perfect, I need to be this perfect employee. I need to be this perfect accountant. I need my bosses to think I'm perfect. I need my clients to think I'm perfect. But really, if we wait until everything is perfect, the time, the people, everything else, then we're going to be just stuck waiting and paralyzed. It's about moving forward with that perfectly imperfect action.
Yeah, absolutely. Nail on the head. Absolutely agree. You don't want to be paralyzed. You don't want to be stopped, even if it's a tiny step.
Exactly.
You want to be keeping on moving forward.
And talking about moving forward then, so you were in this great role, a BDO, where you really felt like you were hitting your groove, you were transforming, you were changing the lives and businesses of your clients. Then what happened next? You must be thinking, I'm doing some good stuff here. What opportunities came out of that?
Yeah, so the bonds are opportunity for me. Like, you know, if I think back, there was one employer that I always really, really wanted to work for, and that was Xero. And this amazing opportunity came up to join the Xero team as their New Zealand partner consulting manager. And I just remember seeing it. Actually, I did reach out. One of my friends from Xero reached out and was like, you should go for this. And I was like, yeah, but I can't do that. And I haven't got experience doing this and this and this. She's like, no. So we got together. But I just remember feeling so giddy during that process that, wow, this is my opportunity to join a company that I just think is flipping awesome. But also, yeah, my dream employer in terms of the accounting industry. Like, that's, you know.
Why were they such a dream?
The rock stars.
Exactly. And you're right, they absolutely are the rock stars. And why was it a dream for you personally? Why did it have to be Xero and no one else?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously when you're an accountant or when you're working for an accounting practice, like I was, not as an accountant, but in an accounting practice, you get to go to all of the events. And like all of the Xeros that I ever saw, they just looked like they were having the time of their life. And it's, you know, being on the inside, you recognize it's hard work too, but you really, that feeling of really being part of something that has transformed the accounting industry really appealed to me. I think as well, like most of the people that I'd met from Xero seemed like flipping awesome, fun human beings. And I think also, yeah, that opportunity to push myself outside of my comfort zone, really loved working at BDO. And like I said, I really loved being part of that team. But I was still in quite a structured environment. So yeah, that opportunity for like a little bit more excitement, change, that kind of thing.
And you say when, go back to your university days, when being, you know, liking a non-traditional journey, maybe being a bit impulsive and everything else. So it sounds like you could fuel that fire somewhat in within this role at Xero.
Yeah, yeah. It's that ability to really push myself. Like I... you know, the impulsivity, but also like there's a lot of things about me that tie back to the fact that I have ADHD. And so if I'm bored, if I'm sitting in one place, that's when things get quite destructive. And so that opportunity to push myself a little bit further and learn something new. And yeah, it was scary, but it's also like you can like give it a shot. Let's see how it goes. So yeah, definitely for me, it's always about looking to be challenged and looking to be interested and excited and fully like invested in what I'm doing.
Definitely. And if it's okay with you, I'd love to explore the ADHD aspect a bit more, because it's funny, as we're recording now, this hasn't been a released episode yet, but by the time this episode is released, my secret will be out that I'm going through an ADHD process myself at the moment.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, impulsive behavior, says the guy who decided to run across the Sahara Desert. Who would have thought it? But how was that journey for you? And the reason I ask is because the accounting industry, traditionally being very structured, very controlled, very trying to be as non-compulsive and impulsive as possible. When did you start to think this could be something in my life, and how did it impact it?
Yeah, I guess like it's a really recent thing for me. It's something I've clearly had my whole life, but I was only diagnosed in March this year. And so I've managed to get to the ripe old age of I'm not telling you so far by muddling my way through. And it's so interesting that you say that, like about the structure thing, because actually typically a structured environment is quite good for me because I've got people expecting things and it's like following a pattern and I can just do it. And then when things are, but you know, at the same time really creative, and so, and I get bored with structure. So it's like that catch 22. High school, great for me, because there's structure and there's someone expecting you to do your homework and there's someone expecting you to study for exams and you're living at home with your parents and they can see what you're up to. University, oh my God, not great for me. But yeah, I think these are the traits that I have that relate to ADHD. I've had them my whole life. And it was sort of only middle to end of last year when a coworker at Xero, awesome person, sort of brought it up with me because they had been through that journey as well.
Mm.
And it's sort of like, wow, all of those things that frustrate you about yourself or that you see other people doing so differently from you, to be able to connect it to one thing like that's such a gift.
Definitely. I think it's there's a parallel there, not saying that that we can diagnose our clients with ADHD, but I think there is an element of accountants and well, mind you, with some of them, we've all had those kind of clients, but I think there's some parallel.
Become a psychiatry podcast.
Maybe it should be. Make it count. Make you think. There you go. The spin-off series. This is the exclusive. The spin-off of Make It Count is Make You Think. Quick one. We have got an amazing free community of professionals who are discovering the secrets to getting unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed at work and at home. It's called Make It Count. Funny that. And the link is in the show notes. Check it out and discover the secrets for yourself. Plus, if you want to see behind the Make It Count curtain and discover what's happening on my latest adventures, give me a follow on Instagram at @TheFreddieBennett. And now, back to the show. But I think with our clients, because so many clients are struggling with their businesses and they can't put a label on it, or they don't know why this is happening, or things just feel overwhelming. And for an accountant to come in and say, look, the reason you're having all these issues, all these dramas, all these sleepless nights is because debtor days, or you're wearing 10 hats, or because you're struggling with this supplier, to be able to come in and just shine a light and say all these reasons, all these symptoms, all this pain that you've got, here's the reason why. And to be able to take that weight off their shoulders is such a powerful skill to have.
Yeah. And that's like the real beauty of that advisory, you know, like what the GAP systemizes for accountants, but also any advisory work where your role isn't just to produce a set of financial statements and a tax return at the end of the year. You're actually being the coach for those small businesses. You're holding them accountable. You're spending the time to really understand like where they are, where they want to be, how they can get there, and then helping them through those steps. You know, for me, if I've just decided I'm going to do something for myself, but I've got 20 things that other people want from me, guess what doesn't get done? The one thing that no one is waiting on me for.
Definitely.
But Freddie, if you're on that journey, we'll say all the best people have ADHD.
Really? Perfect. Cool. Obviously, if we have it, I think it's certainly a superpower. I mean, yeah, my son is going through the diagnosis, which is why he's like, oh, a lot of this sounds familiar. And then you start exploring it for yourself. And, oh, now that's why I have shiny object syndrome. And that's why I'm not very good in a proper job and all these different things. But obviously, this is not about me. This is about you. And I'd love to know, Tessa, so you were in this perfect role in Xero. You had this dream job. And now you're obviously somewhere else at the back room. So what? Walk me through what happened there. Was this something where you wanted another opportunity? Was there an inkling there was more out there? What was the story behind it?
It's a weird one, really. Like I said, Xero was my dream employer. I flipping loved my time there. I worked with some of the most amazing, brilliant people I've ever worked with. And I wasn't looking for an opportunity, but I'd gotten to know Wade and Scott, who are the founders of The Backroom, through my work. And they approached me, you know, we used to joke about it, I think. And I never really personally didn't really mean it, but we used to joke about me coming to work for them. They approached me probably, like September, October last year. And they're like, we've got a job for you. And so you can imagine, you know, they're awesome people. Wayne and Scott are so flipping cool. And I really love what they've done with The Backroom. And so I'll always entertain an opportunity. So spoke to them more about it. But in my head at the time, I was kind of like, no way. Like, no way would I leave Xero. It's my dream. It's my dream being here. And so it actually took probably a good 5 months before I actually made the call. And what I found was the more that I talked to Wayne and Scott, what I saw was, you know, this amazing company that serves a really amazing purpose in the accounting community that has had like some pretty amazing growth over the last couple of years and is on a really great trajectory. You know, there's a real opportunity there for me in my career to come in and lend my expertise to the sales and marketing process and help us sort of, yeah, really propel into the future and do it in a way that's going to be sustainable and set us up for growth for the next, you know, 5 years. So, yeah, I think for me, what I saw was just an amazing opportunity to come in, make my mark, have an impact with a really great company. And so, yeah, the process to get through that, thinking of like, oh, my God, I'm leaving my zero. And I was going to stay here for years and years and years. But,
but I think that's the thing. We don't know what's around the corner. I say this as someone who 3 years ago, I was sat in a grey, rainy part of the UK feeling extremely sorry for myself in the middle of a lockdown. And now here I am in 12,000 miles away with a totally different life. But did you ever have any doubts? Were there any sort of questions around, is this the right thing? Am I making a mistake? Or were you always confident that this was the way ahead?
Yes and no. Like, I think it took me a long time to work through. I'm actually surprised at this because I am quite impulsive. And so generally I make decisions really rapidly without putting much thought into it. But for me, it probably took me longer to be like, I'm leaving what I thought was my dream to move. So I had to work through that. And that's kind of a like, no. But yeah, when I made the decision and it, like when I make a decision, you know, you instantly feel better when you've made a decision, right? Instead of stewing on a decision. Once I make that decision, yeah, no, full throttle. Let's just look forward. No regrets, I think.
I love it.
And I definitely, it's been an absolute whirlwind. It's been a ride. It's been a pretty crazy 6 months. Lots of travel, lots of other countries and that kind of thing. But no, I don't regret it at all.
Amazing. What an amazing way to live life. And again, a lot of what the impulsive decisions and then just say, yep, we're doing this now. Again, says the person who thought, let's move 12,000 miles to a country you've never been to before and where you don't know anyone. Yeah, why not? Let's see what happens. And makes perfect sense.
Have you got any friends yet?
Have I got any friends yet? Oh, I think I've been burned. I do have friends. I have many friends online and they keep not wanting to meet me. But I think, you know, when you're comfortable with a relationship with yourself, I find that's the most important relationship. But no, I have made a network. I have made friends. I'm not back at school now. I do have real life friends sometimes. So I'd love to find out more about the back room. And you say around the travel involved and being based out of the Philippines as well. What is your role involved? How do you help make accountants and accounting firms awesome?
Yeah, so I guess like for my role, we're really trying to, you know, continue having sustained growth. And Australia and New Zealand accounting industry as a whole, like, man, we're so ahead of the curve. And so, you know, if you think about things like tech adoption or advisory services or offshoring and outsourcing, those are things that New Zealand and Australian accountants have been doing for years and are doing really, really well. And I think, you know, my ambition for the role is that we have spent a lot of time in the UK, spent a bit of time in Canada and the US talking to accountants over there. And the thing that sort of springs up for me immediately is the type of conversations that you have or the type of questions that you're getting are so different because, and, you know, I say this as a generalization because there are some accounting firms in each of those regions who are up there with where they're accounting industry in New Zealand and Australia is. So preface, I'm not having a dig. But if I was to generalize, I think, you know, in each of those regions where they are, probably about 5 to 6 years behind New Zealand and Australia in terms of an accounting industry. And I mean that it's awesome for them, right? They can look at what, you know, standard accounting firm in New Zealand is doing and be like, whoa, we're looking into the future. So I think for me, my major ambition is to make that gap a little bit smaller when it comes to offshoring and outsourcing. I think being able to free up capacity is so crucial to being able to do more with your business as an accountant. And so, for example, if you're looking at expanding into advisory services, allow the gap, it's not going to be possible unless you can free up capacity on that tax and compliance work. For me, I just want to spend as much time as possible getting that message out there and helping, you know, our counterparts catch up.
Definitely. And what would you say then? So, because I know there'll be so many accountants and accounting firms listening to this saying, oh, more capacity, that's what we need. More time, that's what we need. We'll never have enough time. Yeah. What would you say to them if they're struggling, if they're feeling overwhelmed? Apart from, obviously, contact you, which will give the contact details. What would they do? How do you help them get over this problem?
Yeah. I think, like, I mean, obviously, like, it's an easy thing to say, offshoring or outsourcing. Mm. I think we all know that talent and retention is a struggle right now. And it actually doesn't matter what country you're in. Like, you know, 95% of accountants that I've spoken to in every country are saying that. They're like, we don't have enough people and we're worried about losing the ones that we've got.
Mm.
So aside from offshoring outsourcing, I think it's time to get really creative. I think if that means you're recruiting in different ways, if that means that you're embracing social media instead of going through either stock standard job posting ad or through Seek, then yes, do it. Hiring outside the mold. So I think you've even had some pretty amazing accounting partners on your podcast. For example, Rick.
Mm.
He's not an accountant. He's a salesperson, and that's how he's landed here.
Definitely.
The same thing, like, you talk to agri firms who, instead of hiring accountants, they're hiring ex-bankers who have worked in the agri industry.
Mm.
And taking a chance, like taking a chance on somebody who potentially, like me, hasn't gone through that traditional route, but who's keen and has the right people skills. You know, you can teach people the technical skills of accounting, but what you can't teach them is to build relationships and that building of relationships and, like, being somebody who can relate to humans. So if you can find someone who can do that and they're willing and eager to learn, you can do it. And I think as well, looking at high schools, we've got a crisis in the accounting industry where it's no longer cool or sexy to be an accountant. So have them at high school before they go and, you know, pay for a degree. Is there some sort of, like, you know, internship that you can do or paid scholarship that you can do? I think that sort of thing. So yeah, definitely from that perspective, I think when it comes to talent retention, like, get creative and look outside the mold.
Mm.
Don't let the traditional idea of what an accountant is define who you're hiring.
Definitely. I think there's a marketing company somewhere right now that is using the whole bringing sexy back to the accounting industry that's going to be stealing that. That's maybe they should play Make It Count in every high school. That's what we do here. We bring sexy back to the accounting industry. I was going to say we put the sexy into accounting, but I'm also dyslexic, so maybe that works. But it is absolutely like that. But I think you're absolutely right that it is about thinking differently. I always say, if you want to be an above average accountant, you need to be an above average person. And to be an above average person, you need to be creative. You need to think differently. You need to take some risks. You need to take a chance, as you say. And in order to do that, then we need to be given the space, the self-belief and the confidence to try a few things and to make those mistakes. And it sounds like that in your current role, it gives you an opportunity to really make a difference, and also under your own remit to follow your own path.
Yeah.
Tessa, I love the way that you are empowering and giving accountants the ammunition and the potential to really make a difference for their clients and their businesses. In a second, we're going to talk about the future, but I do have one more technical question for you, because we talk about outsourcing and we talk about offshoring. Now, apologies if this is a bit of a stupid question, but that's what I do. I like asking stupid questions. Is it possible for an accounting firm to both offshore and outsource? Because we may have some listening who say, oh, it's okay, I do outsourcing, or I just do offshoring. But how does that all work?
Yeah, so I guess, like, in terms of understanding the difference, outsourcing is very much job-based. You send away your job, you might pay, you know, a percentage of the client fee or a flat fee, whatever. It goes out, it gets done, it comes back. And then offshoring, and that's in the simplest terms. I'm really hoping that Barry from Connect doesn't call me to correct me on this. But offshoring is actually having full-time staff members that work as if they were sitting in the office with you. They're just based in another country.
Mm.
So that's building out the team. And to answer your question, absolutely, of course it is. They've both got advantages and disadvantages. I would look at it as, like, offshoring is sort of permanent, and then the outsourcing it's really awesome. And we all know what accounting life is like. There are definitely times of the year where you're going to be really busy, under pressure, all of those things. And I would say, you know, you can use that outsourcing to handle those ebbs and flows of the accounting year. And yeah, I mean, I personally think that there's, of course, a way for them to coexist. I'm not going to tell people do one or the other. Absolutely not.
Perfect. You talked just then about, you know, the how they can perform the best in their role and the outsourcing and offshoring. How do you manage it all in terms of, you mentioned the travel, it's an intensive role. In terms of your own health, in terms of your own work-life balance, how do you manage it?
Barely is probably the quick answer. No, I think, you know, because I'm really passionate about what I'm doing, I don't find it as much of a struggle as I would if I was like, oh, this is a bit boring and like lame and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I'm really excited about what I'm doing. But you're right. Like, if I had to count the amount of trips I've been on this year, and I know that seems like glamorous and cool. When you're in it, it's really not. You do get a bit tired of it. Your mind starts to melt because you're in a different time zone all the time. But yeah, I think for me, I've found a lot of like little life hacks around packing and all of those kind of things. And then it's really valuing the time that I have when I am home in Auckland. So making sure that I am spending time with my friends, making sure I am getting some time with my family in Wellington or down south or in Rotorua, they're all over the place. But yeah, I think for now, because I'm on this wave of excitement about what I'm doing, it doesn't feel like a chore. And I guess, obviously, I have my own amazing team in the Philippines who are there to support me and to be able to help me through some of the work. And so, yeah, that's, you know, a huge importance to me that I've got a really amazing support crew.
Definitely. And I'm sure you do. And it highlights as well, I believe, when we find the things that we're passionate about, it doesn't feel like a chore, when it doesn't feel like work, it gives us energy, it doesn't drain us. And I think that highlights the importance, whether it's within the accounting industry, within your company, within your job, your life, however it is, for anyone listening, to find what you love, even if it is taking that non-traditional approach, because it is when we find what we love, when we do what we love, that's when we have that passion, we have that energy that feels never ending. We don't get tired, we don't get bored. Very often, at least, it's about doing what feels right that gives us joy.
Yeah.
It's going a bit deep and meaningful there. It's but yeah, anyway, back to accounting. With we're coming to the end of the episode. I've loved this conversation, but I'd love to know, Tessa, what does the future hold? What does it hold for you, for the backroom, and how do you see the industry going?
Yeah. You know, I only seek really good things for the back room. Like, I think we've got an awesome model set up to help accountants offshore. And I think for us, it's really about just getting that message out and speaking to as many accountants as we possibly can about how we can help and just refining and making that better. And then if I think about the accounting industry as a whole, like, I'm really excited about what I'm seeing in the accounting industry. You know, you've got these incredible firms, some of them, you know, that we work with, who are just doing things a little bit differently. And they're like really, really open to like trying new things and moving away from that traditional, you know, 9 to 5 clock in, six minute timesheet entries, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm really excited. And I think, you know, the future gets better and better and better. We've got better tech, we've got, you know, AI. I don't really know what that means, but I say, you know, I drop it in every so often.
Yeah, it's always good.
But, you know, to me, that just means that we're getting better and better processes that allow accountants to do the best work of their lives, which is really, really exciting.
I love that. Allow them to do the best work of their lives. What a an amazing way to bring things to a close. Tess, I've absolutely loved this conversation. It has been eye-opening and mind-opening in so many ways. And I've really valued your experience and your expertise. Now, obviously, before we finish, we have the tradition here on Make It Count. We have the final secret question, where the previous guest gets to ask a secret question of the current guest. Now, obviously, I do not know this question, so I'm going to delve into my secret question box, which is definitely not my email, and find out. So, interesting. Very interesting. So, are you ready Tessa,
but
when are we ever ready? Tessa, the secret question for you is, if you could give one piece of advice to a brand new graduate accountant, what would it be?
I think there's probably two for me. Don't limit where you think you might end up. I think very often, this actually nearly goes against the message of like talent retention, but very often people come into the accounting industry and think the only place for them to end up at is at the top of that triangle as a partner. And I think, you know, if there's anything I've learned, that actually you can go zigzag all over the place. There are so many opportunities and different things that you can do when you've got those skills as an accountant. And then secondly, find the people who believe in you and really tap into their knowledge and, you know, belief. I think, you know, one of the things that has been really important to me, particularly throughout the last, say, 3 or 4 years, I've got some really, really incredible mentors who believe in me, who are there to pull me up when I'm being a bit of a dickhead, who are there to boost me when I'm feeling a bit down on myself, but also who know my strengths, my weaknesses, and who are willing to like be really frank and open with me about those. So I think having those people, those mentors, are, you know, it's really important. So I guess those would be my two.
Amazing. I love it. Thank you so much, Tessa. I've absolutely loved this conversation. You are absolutely insightful and have helped, I know, so many people out there with so many different aspects of their careers and their lives. If people want to get in touch with you, if they want to find out more about the Backroom, what's the best way to find you?
Best way to find me is to have a stalk on LinkedIn. It's Tessa Douglas. There's probably a few of them out there. So I guess if you added the Backroom in there as well, hopefully you'll find me. Otherwise, jump on our website, www.thebackroomop.com. And yeah, feel free to reach out. Would love to hear from anyone.
Perfect. I'm sure people will. And I'll put the LinkedIn link and the web address in the show notes. For now, Tessa, it's been an absolute pleasure. We will have to get you back for a part two in the future as well. It's been such a fantastic conversation. Thank you for being part of Make It Count.
Thanks, Freddie. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to another show-stopping episode of Make It Count. I would love it if you could give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and share this podcast with the world. I am on a mission to get professionals unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed at work and at home. You can join our free Make It Count community. Click the link in the show notes, and you can also follow all of my adventures on Instagram at @TheFreddieBennett. Well, for now, we made it count once again. I've been Freddie Bennett. You have been amazing, and I will see you on the other side.